Outside, the sun was starting to set, colored streamers of clouds filling the sky like a tortured rainbow. Softly, the wind moaned over the bare landscape of Shiloh Valley, the hard ground vacant of even leaves or dust. What the compacted ash hadn't trapped, the acid rain had dissolved or washed away. Tapping steadily on the keypad next to the big black door, the old slave gasped in astonishment as the massive portal set into the strange hillock suddenly rumbled open, showing a long corridor. The walls were smooth, the high ceiling lined with glowing light tubes, unlike anything he had ever seen. The floor was dirty with a thin layer of ash, and laying prominently in sight was a hand cannon. A shiny new blaster just lay there, waiting to be taken. Furtively, the Whitehair cast a glance over his shoulder to the snoring Sekhman wrapped in a blanket and leaning against the Hummer. The low campfire cast a reddish glow over the man and Wag, making them appear to be painted in blood. As the slave took a hesitant step toward the blaster, he inadvertently touched the keypad, and the mammoth door began to close. Hastily, he jumped out of the way, and it sealed with a resounding boom. Instantly, the Sekhman was standing, his blaster out, eyes blinking away the sleep.
What the fuck was that?
The muzzle of the weapon swung back and forth. The slave looked at the darkening sky.
Just thunder, sir. Nothing important, sir, just thunder.
Suspicious, the Sekhman studied the growing twilight, then sat again, wrapping the blanket around his shoulders and yawning.
Toss some more wood on the fire.
Yes, sir. At once, sir.
The white hair mentally repeated over and over the sequence that opened the portal to the bunker. Freedom was close. Soon. Very soon. Lying on the floor of the Matrans chamber, Christy and Dean violently heaved for several minutes, their stomachs rebelling at the instantaneous transportation. As the sickness slowly faded from their bodies, the woman and boy struggled to their feet and glanced around the Matrans chamber. Lights glowed in the patterned metal disks set in the floor and ceiling. The armorglass walls were a pale blue streaked with soft gray.
I think I know this place.
Christy felt confused. For some unknown reason, she was trying to hear the sound of a distant siren, but there was only silence.
Not familiar to me.
Dean went to the chamber door, which opened easily. The woman and boy were triple alert, their weapons up and ready. The next room was rectangular, roughly 5 yards by three, and quite empty, except for some wall shelves and a plastic table with a copper bowl. There was residue inside that resembled dried blood. Acting on impulse, Christy tapped the bowl with a fingernail, and it rang with the clarity of a bell. Spent brass was scattered about on the floor in a variety of calibers. Then, it all came rushing back to her.
Gaia, protect us. This is the first redoubt. The big one in Alaska. The first redoubt we ever jumped to, that is.
Cradling the AK-47, Dean brightened.
The place with the big armory? Where Doc first got his Lama and JB his Uzi?
Yes, that's the redoubt I mean.
Dean stumbled toward the hallway door.
Hot pipe! Let's get going! Dad told me this place has the biggest armory of any redoubt. We can make a couple of trips with the LD button and get all the ammo and food we need. Clothes, missiles, grens, we could load a wagon and drive into the chamber.
Christy slumped against the cool wall.
Don't bother running. This base is useless to us.
Already partially out the door, Dean turned with a stern expression.
What do you mean? It's got everything we need.
And more. It's also the biggest redoubt we ever encountered. Miles and miles wide. I remember it taking us an hour to walk to the main intersection of corridors, and then it was even farther to the armory.
Dean glanced at his chron. 17 minutes to go.
Aw, shit!
He frowned, then started for the door again.
We can at least take a fast wreck. Maybe something got dropped.
Her red hair coiling nervously, Christy rose and followed the boy into the control room. Panels of consoles blinked in silent rhythms as the great machine conferred with other comps, testing circuits. There was some spent brass on the floor and an empty cigar box on a console, the plastic smeared with brown stains that vaguely resembled old blood. Resting the Kalashnikov on a shoulder, Christie tried to recall if anybody had been wounded on their last jump here. Finn had been shot, somebody else also. Was it Hen or Oki? They had also gotten a new member of the crew, Lori Quint. She had been with Doc for quite a while before. Christie shook her head to dispel the dark thoughts. Too many dead. It was difficult to keep track. Dean returned from the hallway.
Nothing. Might as well leave.
Petulantly, he kicked over a chair and stomped back to the Matran's chamber.
Maybe in the next redoubt. We find a lot of bases with a few supplies remaining. Only need one of those.
We'll find blasters. Just a matter of how soon.
Climbing inside the chamber, they hit the LD button and let the swirling mists and twinkling lights cast them into nothingness and beyond. As the noise of the chamber faded, the door to the hallway swung open, and a stooped graybeard in furs walked into the control room. The old Russian scanned the room, certain that strangers had invaded the redoubt.
Could have sworn I heard voices.
He placed a hand on the control console and felt the heat rising off the comps.
Yes, visitors.
I will have to do something about that.
He began to randomly press buttons and flip switches, smiling as lines of data began to scroll up the banks of comp screens and a distant hum increased in volume.
They won't come back. Gone forever.
Falling through infinity, Christie and Dean hurtled through the electronic void when they felt a jarring lurch and knew that something was terribly wrong. A dimly seen floor materialized beneath them, and both were seized by bitter cold. Somehow, the air felt slow, and it was difficult to breathe. As the mists vanished, their clothes became instantly soaked, and each realized they were underwater. Skeletons of rotting bodies drifted past the choking pair, the rusted remains of blasters laying on the slimy armor-glass floor. Dimly seen through the cloudy water, the chamber door was marked with discolorations and deep scores. The other prisoners had died trying to get free before drowning. Frantically, Christie reached out for the LD button, but Dean was already there. As the button was depressed, the mists began to build once more, and they fought to keep from trying to draw in a breath of air. Hearts pounding, each thought their aching lungs were about to burst when they dropped once more into the artificial abyss of nothingness. But this time, unsure of where they were going, or if they would get there alive. The shallow waters of the Pennsylvania wetlands gradually became dry land, and Alpha Team's LAV increased speed as it moved effortlessly across the fields of stubby grass. The gunner in the turret suddenly called out,
"Sir, something big on the horizon!"
Brandon, dry-shaving with a plastic razor from one of their packs, looked up.
"A veil?"
"I think it's a dish, sir."
Dropping the blue stick, the officer rushed to an obslit.
"Half speed. We want to wreck the area first."
The wag slowed to a crawl, and the sec men crowded the obslits and blaster ports to catch a glimpse. Sure enough, rising above the morass of trees was a dish, just like the one at their base, only much bigger. Almost double the size. The corporal grinned around a sig and slapped a private on the shoulder.
"We still have to check out the ville, but so far so good."
Rolling closer, every weapon at the ready, the SecMen could see that the pre-dark dish was intact and in near-perfect condition. The concrete bunker at its base was almost identical to the one at their own ville. The framework of supporting girders seemed intact. A heavy infestation of thorny vines covered the dish and frame, but the slaves could clear those away in a couple of hours.
"We found it! Hot damn, we found one!"
Brandon, staring out an obslit, a hand resting on his holstered blaster, responded.
"Shut up! How stupid are you?"
"What do you mean, sir?"
He pointed with a thumb.
"See that? The animals aren't checking this wag out very closely. It's strange, but not frightening."
The corporal puffed on his cig.
"Wag's been here before. Stay hot, boys. We could have company."
In response, the gunner in the turret slapped the breech of the electric cannon, making sure the ammo belt was firmly in place.
We're ready.
Everybody out. I want a perimeter sweep of 50 yards in every direction. Chill anything you find. We're not going to make the same mistake twice.